Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm Buzzag, and this is Star Trek Reliant, one of the only Star Trek Online live play podcasts of Star Trek Adventures. Here we are with the team. I'm your DM for today, and let's introduce our players, starting with DB Wells.
Why is it always me?
Maybe you had something to do with the order you appear in a list somewhere.
I'm change your name to Zed.
Next up with Garal.
Welcome to the jungle.
This ain't no fun and games. GB, who brought us all to the jungle today.
Uh-oh.
Turok step away while we were...
No!
Alright, Duncan, let's go with you.
And here you see the crew of the starship in their natural habitat. You will see next to them a large fire. It has started somehow, and they are currently watching. But do not fear. This is nature.
Thank you for that ASMR. Now,
Trog is back. He is making use of a local tree.
All right. And finally, Captain O'Connor.
Are you sure?
Is it me? Yes, I think it's you.
Imposter? Shit, I didn't have a bit planned.
Well, that'll count. Welcome to the show, everyone. We're professionals, we swear. So we'll start in the middle of a dank, swampy forest on a planet that Churog has taken... a number of the Lower Decks crew and DB Wells for some more hands-on survival training. Entering a planet and dealing with what they found in an improvised and potentially life-threatening situation. Last time they stumbled across a den of a local apex predator and managed to escape from the predator's notice with Churog disrupting their senses and the rest of the team scuttling away. We have just a bit of information. They have 3 momentum to spend in the coming adventure left over from last session. So we'll keep that and move forward. Can we just get a reminder of everyone's characters they are playing in this particular scenario?
I'm playing me.
I'm also playing me, but derogatory.
I am playing Faberi. She's Fanon, which is basically a deer-like humanoid from Plant Survey.
I am playing Mr. Xerxes Havoc, who is a seasoned Conclave operative, but new to the crew. Although, I mean, whether or not he's officially part of the crew is still, you gotta get to that paperwork eventually, don't we? But at any rate, though, yeah, he is a Romulan Conclave operative that adopted several episodes ago.
Alright, and O'Connor is currently, available right now, so let's continue.
No, I'm still here. I'm still here. Just shit was... I heard myself bleeding through.
Okay. So, do you... I can't really remember the character you were playing.
Ryuji, the...
Yes.
Kitsune from Trident.
Yes. That was...
Big, giant fox man. Mm. But not like furry. He's only got the ears.
And tails.
Alrighty. So, as the crew stealth away from their last encounter, they find themselves deeper into the jungle. Churog, why don't you take the lead here?
Churog and company has managed to evade the predator, for now, and is making their way to a clearing where they're going to set up base camp. Because it's getting dark, and predators tend to like to come out in droves in the dark. So he's going to have his pupils set up camp.
Alrighty. Can I get everyone to roll either an insight security check or a control security check? Insight to identify whether potential vulnerabilities, potential security issues, and control to set up defenses for them. I'll need at least someone doing one of each, but it doesn't matter who.
Yeah, just a sec.
And this includes Chorog, include Chorog, who will need to do a control.
Already done.
I'm doing control.
Fabari did insight.
Zacius would be best on the checking for danger route, except his insight's not fit, so we'll see. Two successes!
Mm. Also, in case we forgot since last session, I'm pretty sure Zacius has a spear made from stick and knife.
Yes. Senor stabs a lot.
Alright. Ryuji needs to roll. Doesn't matter which. We have both roles covered.
And I was muted, goddammit. Alright, which one did you need?
Either one will work. Inside.
Yes, either one of what?
Inside or inside. Control.
And I don't know what applies, but that would be a crit if anything applies.
Do you think you have anything, any focus that would apply for essentially setting up like a hide or a campsite, secure campsite?
Yes, I do have survival.
You know, I'll accept that. That's a crit. Alrighty. So, looking back over the results, Chorog doesn't need to actually say much as you all start to identify potential positions of ingress where threats might arrive, and you find, and with the various tools and implements you have, the sharpened sticks and knives and things that you have, able to tear down branches, tie them together, sort of form some bulwarks and some barricades, sort of things that, you know, just lift you off slightly off the ground so that if there's any bugs or other kind of, like, scorpion kind of things, that they don't crawl on you and snakes don't slither into your warm packs that you have.
Everything. Well, what if we want the snakes? John would, like, if John was here, he would totally be trying to attract all snakes. But he isn't, so.
As you finish up, you realize that Chorog isn't there anymore.
While everyone was busy getting the camp set up, Chorog quietly slipped away and is currently hiding out in some forestry nearby, watching them and seeing how long it's going to take to notice that he's missing.
Odds are Zacius will have noticed, but he also wouldn't have done anything about it. He'll just continue as per normal.
Upon noticing that Chorog is gone, Daniel's just kind of not shout, but raise his voice a little, just kind of speak to nowhere in particular. Is this part of the training, or?
Yeah, probably.
So I guess we're on our own now.
And the most unnerving thing about it is nobody heard anything, and currently nobody hears anything. Chorog has managed to go into stealth stalking mode.
So it's only the fact that you finished working, or that you had at a time were looking for Chorog, that you noticed that he was missing. You didn't hear him go, you didn't see him go, you don't see any indications of where he might have went. He is just gone.
Well, in the off chance that another part of this training mission is going to be Chorog trying to, like, see if we can see him coming as well, Daniel will try to surreptitiously make a trap made for humanoids. Not like a spike trap or anything, like more like the classic like rope around the ankle thing. But he's gonna try and set it up in a way that if Chorog is watching, he might not realize exactly what Daniel is doing. It might, let's make it kind of look like he's making another trap for the predator.
Sure, give me an inside security check to see if you realize what Daniel is doing. And that's three successes and another momentum. So yes, you do realize that Daniel is making a trap that, I mean, it would be good for a larger creature, but it's for a bipedal creature. Just the way that it's set up seems to more indicate a humanoid than an actual snare for the kind of creatures that you've seen here. Quadrupeds.
Trog's watching. He sees him doing this. He's thinking to himself, okay, this is good for trapping someone like me, but not for the critters around here. So that was just time wasted.
Okay, so he doesn't quite get what Daniel was going for then. I mean, he knows the trap is there and will obviously not fall into it, but doesn't get Daniel's reasoning just from seeing him do it.
Right. So, you will know that DB is Chorog is out there. You know that he's probably watching. You know that he's probably seeing everything that you're doing, but you don't know where he's coming. What are your plans? How do you approach this current situation?
I mean, I guess if Daniel is done setting up traps for the beast, he'd want to climb a tree to try and get a lookout again, this time also checking for snakes as he's climbing, unlike the last time.
Mm. Alright, give me a inside security check as you start looking for the immediate dangers around you as you climb the tree. This one is particularly easy to climb, so I'm not going to make you roll fitness for it, but you're able to step on a branch, then find another branch. You don't see any snakes on your tree, but there's some nearby, but they don't immediately seem to be interested in you or approaching you, in currently at least.
And Faberi is thinking about setting up a campfire.
That would be part of setting up the camp. So Faberi has gotten the campfire lit, the fire roaring. Just out of curiosity, how do you have an idea of how Faberi would have done that?
Probably by collecting refuge and sticks around, using net tinder from whatever was locally somewhat dry.
Yeah, it's a bit of hard finding something that's dry, but you managed to find enough kindling that you're able to start the fire and create a beacon of heat and light so that as the night falls, you're not left with the cold.
And presumably also scare away certain creatures.
Yes, that is a secondary feature of the fire. to answer the question in chat, DB, whether or not you have any belief the snakes are venomous, give me a, you know, I'm going to say reasoned science on this one.
Well, that okay. certainly is a roll.
So, yeah, so for our listeners, he got a crit success and a complication, so a 1 in a 20 on the dice rolls. So, you're able to determine that they are constrictor. That if they aren't poisonous, but now that you look at them, you see them start to, like, almost start to swell in size. They have some kind of mechanism to basically enhance their muscles. And they have basically become stronger constrictor snakes than what your initial impression of them might have been.
Okay. So the complication is, damn, I didn't think I was in that much danger when one snuck up on me earlier.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking of trying to set up one more trap where the that's designed to, like just, like, trying to identify a tree where a bunch of the snakes are hanging out. Try and set up a trap where like a rope would snap a shake branches or whatever. If the beast walks underneath, and then just have a bunch of the snakes drop on it.
For the sake of argument, I am willing to have that as part of the role, part of the traps that you have already set up, because you've already done sort of the roles for the traps and setting up the defenses of the camp. So I'm willing to sort of slide that into the role, that the roles that have already been made for that.
Okay.
So after you've got the camp set up, you have the traps set up as much as you're capable. The night has starting to turn. You can see glimpses of what's dusk filter through the light of peeking through the canopy turns reddy, purpley colors, and soon turns to night. Churog is still out somewhere.
Question. I know I've said Daniel's been working on traps and stuff a lot. Has anybody worked on, aside from the fire, has anybody worked on, like, shelter? Like, where we're going to be sleeping?
That will have been Zeusius. And potentially Ryuji as well.
Yeah. So you've set up all the different. You've at least got basic shelter. You've got places for your overnight gear. You've got protection from the elements. You have set up a nice overall camp.
Can I add one more thing?
Go on.
Zeusius will have also set up a small armory where he's just collected like half a dozen sharpened sticks.
Yep, that'll count as defensive. That'll count as part of it. So you do have some very makeshift weapons, but weapons nonetheless. So with night falling,
sit around the fire, eat a bug.
I guess. I mean, should we try and find food aside from the one bug that Zeusius is eating?
I thought he said he was eating a book, not a bug, goddamn.
We're only here for a few days. It's probably not a good idea to eat food. Most humanoids can last a month without foods, but we don't know what's edible or not, and it's probably not a good idea to chance it.
True. But, we also know that we're trying to be on the lookout for a large apex predator and potentially Chorog if him attacking us is part of the test. So we probably don't want to start, like, losing energy from not eating anything.
Well, gathering food is another opportunity for it to attack us.
Meanwhile, Ryuji's just over by a tree with you know, his knife cutting off bark.
Now I was thinking about bark.
What are you thinking about bark for?
Because I know some people can... I know some bark is edible. I don't know.
Making tea.
You know...
Sassafras tea.
You know, I saw... I was looking at those snakes. I'm pretty sure they're not venomous. They're more the constrictor type. And I saw them, I think, basically trying to... You know how, like, some animals will have, like, a part of themselves that, like, engorges? I think they were trying to, like, basically flex at me as a warning to stay away. And they got a lot of meat on their bones. They don't look it when they're just relaxing.
If you want to go hunt snake, go ahead.
I'll be here in case things go south.
Yeah.
He hands Daniel a pointed stick.
Trog, meanwhile, has moved somewhat closer to the camp to get a better view. Still, no noise.
So, okay. Daniel, I'm just going to make you roll a daring security check as you climb, and you're going to have to sort of do a leap from one tree to the next as you attack one of the snakes. So let's see how this goes. They will do an opposing roll. So they will also try to get you as you try to get them.
Okay, I just want to say, markedly, I am not going for any snakes in the snake-heavy tree where I have that trap set up. I'm going for one that isn't so surrounded by other snakes and also isn't part of our defenses.
Yeah. So there is a snake that is more on its own. That is does seem to be the same type that you are able that you did see occasionally. That's not a part of the same tree.
Unfortunately, I don't think I have any foci that apply. The closest I could think is like sleight of hand or metalwork. If I was given the one with the knife on the end, but that's like very stretching.
Yeah,
very...
just a straight daring security. I am rolling for the snake.
You appear to be evenly matched.
So, in that case, it leans towards the attacker. You do grab onto the snake, and it tries to wrap around you and restrict you, but you're able to twist and turn it, so it sort of, like, counteracts the movement, and you slam its head against one of the trees as it goes limp.
I'm just gonna just in case it's only stunned or unconscious, I'm just gonna take the spear, line it up, and just right through the eye hole into the brain, just make it quick, just to be sure. I don't want to waken up as I'm carrying it back to the fire.
Yes, you pierce, I'm not gonna make you roll for it, you pierce through it. It's a head, and it is very clearly dead.
All right, Daniel walks back with one of the snakes. I'm guessing partially flexing from the altercation, so it's kind of bulgy. But...
Yeah, it is bulgy, but it's also slight has that sort of weird thing that chickens do. That they're still active even after you cut the head off. Like, you know, that's where the saying comes from. Like a chicken running around without its head. Because it's still going off. It's still, muscles are still activating even though they're not being controlled by the creature's mind.
Probably a defense mechanism, if I had to guess, in case a creature attacks it from its back half. So the front half might escape.
But you bring the snake with its meat and whatever. Snakes don't really have skeletal structures because they've got to twist and turn, but organs and stuff inside of them.
They do have all vertebrae.
Yeah, their skeleton, this is spine, and pretty much nothing else but the skull.
Actually, all right, give me a control. I guess it'll be science or security to try and prepare this snake for food.
I will do control science because that's my best possible role.
All right, with two successes, you do make it. And you realize that, actually, yes, it is an alien snake. It doesn't have the traditional skeletal structure, but there are, like, these fine filaments that are flexible, but do provide the function of a skeleton in that sense. It provides support and structure to the rest of the musculature. These four like strands connect to the skull and run through the entire length of the body as some kind of, I mean, they're not bone, but it's a very kind, similar, like it's more of perhaps more cartilage than anything, a very fibrous cartilage that provides the skeletal structure of this.
Okay. So, okay. I'm not sure how applicable that might be to any other non-reptilian creatures we see, but this could be a sign as to how large animals may have evolved, in general, may have evolved, unless this is like a snake-exclusive feature, but it's something to keep in mind. Anyway, snake skewers roasting on the fire.
You cook it, and there is definitely enough for everyone to have a meal of snake flesh.
Faberi does not partake. She's still worried about being potentially poisonous or not compatible with her system, and being a refugee, she's had many a times where she hasn't eaten for a while.
I will say, as if Daniel notices Faberi in like just avoiding the meat, he'll say, "You know, it's highly unlikely that these are poisonous or toxic to consume. They're tree-dwelling predators with no like venom in their system, as far as I can tell, and so they probably wouldn't have much reason to have a post-mortem defense mechanism against other predators hunting them.
Still not the risk with the biochemistry or potential parasites.
Well, that's what the cooking is for.
All right. So while you're discussing things, Churog, what does Churog do?
Churog's just been very quietly watching, suitably impressed that they got a very solid base camp set up. But he feels it's time to sneak back to camp and see how they deal with someone just showing up out of nowhere.
All right, so who do you approach? How do you approach from?
I quietly sneak up behind Daniel.
Of course.
Trog slowly makes his way through the brush, being as quiet as ever. Not even stepping on anything, just silently moving through the brush. And makes his way behind Daniel, just kind of stands there for a minute, seeing if Daniel's going to notice just anything sneaking up on him.
Hey, give me an inside security roll, Daniel. See if you do notice.
I sure do love insight security.
I sense some sarcasm there.
Oh.
You know, this is the second time Chorg has done this since on this mission, where he just walks up behind Daniel and Daniel doesn't notice he's there.
Yeah, so Daniel didn't get any successes on that roll, but no complications either. So, I'm going to say pretty much everyone else but Daniel notices that Shurog is standing not even a foot behind Daniel.
Shurog leans down a little bit, almost right next to Daniel's ear, and says, "Are you enjoying that?"
And Daniel, of course, goes, "Oh, that's... God damn
no,
it."
Daniel turns sheet white and almost passes out.
No, he doesn't. He was expecting Shurog to come up on us at some point. It's just he didn't hear him or feel him coming at all in this instance. So he's just like he just jumps a bit and he's like, "Oh, God damn it."
Right, I see you guys have made base camp very well. And I am slightly concerned that none of you heard me sneak off, or I've been watching you guys probably for the last hour and a half.
You want snake?
Well,
yeah, I'll get some. I'd love some roast snake.
Well, one, why would we expect you to sneak off? You were at the time part of the group, and two, I can't help it if I didn't hear you when you were not making any noise.
It was part of the test to be able to notice when something's amiss. Someone has just quietly disappeared in your group.
I mean, we noticed you were gone. I just thought it might be part of the test. That's why I set up that trap that you clearly avoided.
Yeah, that trap was pretty obvious. Anyway, let's get some rest. We got a long day out of us tomorrow. Trog takes a snake kebab and begins to chow down on it.
All right, with that...
dense meat with how much it can expand when flexed.
Yeah, so it is a very, very dense, very thick, very... I'm not going to say tough, but it's not super soft either. It's definitely on the tougher side of meat. You sort of have to properly chew it.
Daniel, as we're chewing on their food, Daniel's just kind of thinking to himself, perhaps next time it goes in a pot if we can find some potable water. Maybe that might soften it up a little.
Zaius has just had a small... He is kind of splitting the difference between going all in and being careful about food poisoning, so.
Right, if everyone...
Actually, here's a question. Question for Nick. Does Ryuji have snake?
No.
You don't? Okay. I was going to ask if you wanted to cook it with foxfire.
No need. Don't need snake.
Don't foxes, like an actual animal, don't they, like, actually eat snakes?
He's not a fox.
He's a kitsune.
I know. I was just, I don't know.
You're thinking of mongooses. They're the ones that eat snakes.
I don't know.
Alrighty. So I take it you all settle down. Get ready for the night. Is there anything you want to do before that happens?
Quick question. Should we put out the fire before we go to sleep, or are we leaving it burning with one person on watch at all times type of situation?
We should have one person on watch at all times, because that alpha predator is still out there. And if we all go to bed, that thing could sneak into here and do us all in. So we need to have one person on watch at all times. Good thinking.
I'll take first watch.
Even though he's clearly not been too great at it, Daniel will volunteer for one of the in-between watches that is neither first nor last.
Zaius will go for last watch. I think that's enough for shifts.
Alrighty. So, both Daniel and Zaius, can you give me a fitness... I'm trying to think what the discipline would be. Let's go with medicine or security.
All right.
Go in security, because I have a one in medicine.
Fitness, security.
damn it. Actually, you know what? I actually have an idea for the complication for Daniel during his watch.
Right, so both Daniel and Zacius, your stomachs growl. You can feel them sort of bubbling inside. It is...
Oh, no.
It is...
Bubbling.
It's not too much, but it settles down. Fortunately, apart from some gas, you don't suffer too much more than that.
Alright. Yeah, you know, boiling or maybe even just like letting the meat soak for a bit might help get rid of whatever mild irritants there is for the next time, should we need to eat more snake.
And what was your suggestion for the complication?
I was going to suggest that on Daniel's watch, he hears that strangely familiar noise again that he can't quite place. And he this starts focusing on that, trying to see if he can maybe tell where it's coming from.
Alrighty. Can I get everyone in the chat to roll inside security for their shifts at night?
Zacius is killing it tonight. Two more successes.
What partisan tactics apply to this?
No, I this is not really a tactical.
No, I thought that the complication, I thought that that first roll was going to be for the watch, not for holding down our snake. So that's why I said that complication is what it is, but I guess it, I don't know.
So what's the character, the
inside security? Inside security is,
will composure help?
It's a bit of a stretch, but I'm going to say yes in this case. Not that it mattered. Alrighty. Was Churug part of the watch?
I don't think he was. I think it was just his recruits that were.
Okay. So, with the rolls, with Zacius getting two, DB getting one, Faberi getting another one, and Ryuji getting two, you do hear a lot of noise, all of you, during the night movement. There is definitely something moving around, but they're going around. They're not coming into the camp. As long as you're keeping the fire going, whatever around is not going to disturb you. I'm going to... just going back to the complication... I'm going to say that moving forward, DB is going to be a little bit under the weather, that he didn't have that well a night rest, and that he will get a complication range increase of 2. So he will have... 18, 19, and 20s will be complications for him moving forward.
Woo!
But day breaks. Night turns to dawn, turns to true morning as light truly breaks through the canopy. It is perhaps time for everyone to find their way back home, back to the shuttle, and off this world once and for all.
Point of order, isn't the shuttle still stuck?
Yes, but you gotta get back to the shuttle before you can do anything about it. And if you can rescue the shuttle, then that's, you know, Starfleet's not gonna be happy if you leave a shuttle behind.
Aren't they disposable assets, technically? How many are lost? Yeah. I mean, we haven't actually lost a shuttle, though, have we?
Well, what about that time when we were on vacation and on Earth? The little train?
I mean, we were able to get it back. It's not like we left that one behind, just in the middle of Norfolk, England. Some children are playing in the woods. Oh, look, we found a photon torpedo.
Are you going to kill me?
Yes. Right. Yeah, so, like, Zacius is awake. He's got his stick collection, which has now grown to, like, 30.
Alrighty.
So, should we tear down camp, or just kind of leave everything?
It's all going to be biodegradable.
Well, yeah, but, like, what if something that isn't an apex predator wanders into the snake drop trap?
The snake drop trap down. I mean, that's fine. It's like the branch shelters, though, they're fine. Even the armory will fade in time.
So, at worst, you probably would want to disable the traps, but everything else, it's not really going to matter.
I guess Daniel says about undoing our traps before we walk off.
Alright. That is something I'm going to see you do. As you all built them, you know how they work, you know what the dangerous parts of them are. You can easily use the sharpened rock or spear or something, or just unhook things to disable the traps fairly easy without a roll. As you said, get ready to set off. So, the question starts, how are you going to make your way back to the shuttle? What approach are you going to make? This is officially going to be an extended task.
Oh, boy.
I'm scared.
I think I had a talent that related to extended tasks that I replaced with walking encyclopedia, like, actually not too long ago.
Well, knowing that the Alpha Predator is still out there, Trog opts for the path less taken. He decides to stay out the main trail and keep sort of to the back trails to try to mask their presence from the predator.
Sorry, what trail?
So you know, you can try and find a stealthy way to approach. You can examine the path ahead of you and try to find a way that isn't currently being used. You can find a safe path without hurdles. You can try and, say, just storm your way through, like, knocking through, or, like, how are you approaching the task? Using your survival training to try and figure out, okay, well, how are we going to get to where we need to get to?
Daniel classic. I'm gonna climb a tree trying to get our bearings. I'll do that at least.
Faberi is relying on her senses with her ears swiveling around.
Zacius will have teamed up with Faberi and is providing basically a large supply of sharpened sticks as well as a bit of landscape recon, in the sense that he is looking for a easy path through the vegetation without it being too open. So splitting the difference between risk and not getting.
Alright, so let's start with DB here. For you, can you roll me an insight science roll as you try to read the terrain, read movement, and just sort of like remember where you came from?
Damn it.
Oof.
Do I get is this immediate consequences, or do I get distracted by the weird noise I keep trying to insert into this scenario for some reason?
Oh, I thought that was for me, sorry.
The complication was for Goral, not for DB. So DB, you do actually find, figure out which way, like, which the general way, you get an approximation of a direction and distance for how you need to go. So you, at least now you start to have a direction. Faberi, unfortunately, is just there's sort of too many different options that could potentially be. And in to try and find the path that leads where you need to go, Faberi finds herself stuck in a thorn bush, much like the one that we had last episode, where it was potentially rather dangerous. For now, she's stuck inside. She hasn't been pricked, isn't directly affected, but too much more, and she might be.
So, Zacius, being teamed up with Faberi, is on site with a large collection of sharpened sticks. Can he use those to basically force a number of the bushes or branches aside, making a path?
Yes. We need to take a break soon, but we will do that roll. How is Zacius? Is he just sort of going to try and destroy them? Is he carefully manipulating? Is he just trying to...
Carefully manipulating.
Yeah. All right. So this will be a control... I'm going to say science for this one.
No!
Oh, so security probably would be better, actually. Control security.
He's in his element. He has the pointy sticks. One success.
Alrighty. That is enough to free Faberi. You haven't made any Faberi's approach didn't make any progress, but at least it didn't hamper your progress. And at that point, let's take a quick break. Let's get back into it. So we have made some slight progress in heading back to the shuttle. So with DB and Faberi taking their roles, Zacius, Chorog, and Ryuji have their actions. How do they want to approach this?
I mean, Faberi's still in that bush.
Faberi has been extracted by Zacius.
Okay, never mind, sorry.
And Faberi's also going to try to sense which direction they should be going.
Yep. I'm just going to say if we give it out to try and spread this part out. So next time it's Faberi's turn, we can do that. But Ryuji and Zacius sort of have their choices of how they want to approach this. Chorog is just going to let the others take the lead on this one.
I want to suggest something once Ryuji makes his call.
You first.
Yeah, Chorog is good, sir. After you.
Yeah, Charles is going to let his group take the lead on this one. Meanwhile, he's kind of paying attention to the surroundings, listening, because he knows they're being watched. He's just trying to figure out from where.
So, for Zacius, he is going to be trying to, basically look out for hazards and take it very cautious, while at the same time being, careful not to get lost. So it is that risk minimization technique. Mm-hmm. But while he's doing this, he's got 30 javelins. So he's just going to start lobbing a few off into the bush as well. He thinks that's a suspicious looking bush. He's going to lob a javelin into it.
Okay, so the question is this going to be inside or control? Because both are sort of... You know what? I'm going to say control. I'm going to agree with you on this one. Control science. Control security, sorry. I meant security on that one.
All right, I'm going to see. No, nothing he has for focuses would apply for chucking javelins. Two successes! Zacius continues his winning streak.
So, yes, Zacius sort of the throws are precise. They are relatively quiet. They don't draw attention. But they prove that there is nothing in the area that he's throwing at. He can see
see and hear if anything scatters or moves, and he is able to prove, to himself at least, that there is nothing in that particular bush, and that, and with close examination, that, you know, this bush doesn't have thorns. This is a path they can go without getting wet, without getting ambushed.
And Zacius will proceed along that course, using his copious javelin supply.
And says, all right, shuttles that way, and points.
All right, what does Ryuji, how does Ryuji approach this?
I don't even fucking know, man, I'm sorry.
So, he could just follow along with Zacius and help chuck javelins.
Sure.
All right, give me a control security check. For Ryuji. All right, one success, one complication.
I'm gonna set myself on fire.
You don't set yourself on fire.
No, not in character. I meant real life. I'm gonna do it right now.
You sort of in character. You sort of do the opposite, and you throw one of the sticks, and your footing slips underneath you. And you slide into the water.
Can I just re-roll one of the... We got momentum.
Yeah, if you want to re-roll, yes, we can. You can spend
I'm going to the water. Yeah, I was thinking that one of the complications could be, well, you found something with the spear, and now it sees you.
I'm just re-rolling that 20.
Yep.
I mean, the complication there is just Zacius' plan worked.
There we go.
Okay, so that's three successes with that roll. So you do get one of the momentum back on that. So you're back to two momentum. And you can spend momentum for extra dice, by the way, as well. So you're able to continue on with how Zace is doing, but you make slightly better time. You're probably about... say, not quite three quarters of the way there. You probably would need another one good roll for you, to make it to where Daniel believes the shuttle is. So with that, let's go back to Faberi, as Faberi had an idea.
Faberi's going to try to use her senses to figure out. She doesn't really know she has, like, a slight ESP, but, like, she just boys its instinct.
Alright, so, what can you read out the talent for us?
I was trying to get it to load, but the site is not loading that has the talent listed. Oh, wait, I found another site. Let me find it on here. I don't think it's on this one.
Let me see if I can find it.
I'm going to go to the Internet Archive, Wayback Machine. And no one archived it.
No.
Okay, so I found, is it called Extra?
Yeah, Extra Sensory Perception.
Yep. Okay, you have the ability to perceive things beyond the normal limits of humanoid sense, allowing you to gain knowledge of people, places, and objects beyond your ability to sense them conventionally. This is known as extrasensory perception, or ESP. It is not directly under your control, but instead tends to come in the form of accurate guesses, strong feelings, or flashes of insight. Such sensitivity often leaves you vulnerable to psychic dangers as well. At any point during the play, you may ask the game master for hints or insights about the current situation, and the game master may similarly offer you information about the current situation that you would not be able to determine. Each hint adds 1 point to threat. You may always refuse to accept the hints offered.
Yeah, she's going to try to, see if she can sense the way.
Alright, so Yes, so I will sense the way the water is still very dangerous. There is things around you in the water that you need to stay away from. But otherwise, you don't really get much more than that. So please do an insight security roll for me, please, to see how well you do. But I will, you know what, I will give you a focus on this one for using the ESP. Okay, with that's three successes. You didn't need the focus. So you carefully avoid the areas where there's a giant puddle, almost a pond in front of you, that you come across, but you are obviously, your ESP tells you that there's something very wrong with that. There's not evil, but there's danger. So you find a way that looks a bit more difficult, a bit more dangerous, but you get a good feeling about as you make your way through. And as you come through the brushes, the bush and the thing, you come across the shuttle before you. You made it. Unfortunately, there is that third clawed quadruped feline kind of creature, the apex predator that is currently taking a nap by the door of the shuttle.
Zaius looks around for John. Has he made it a battle already? And of course you will not see John.
It starts to stir. This one looks, has a different fur pattern to the one that you saw before. So it's not the same creature that you found the den of before, but a different creature has, a different individual has found your shuttle and is studying. To stir as it wakes up, it looks towards you.
Zaius looks about his sticks. Do they have any residual snake meat?
I'm gonna, as large as the snake was and as few people ate it, yes, you could have easily carried some snake meat.
Okay. Zaius tries to toss some snake meat, like, into, yeah, essentially any nearby grass or low vegetation that is some distance away from the shuttle door, but not quite so far that it's just not noticed. Something that the predator could easily.
Okay, this'll have to be a check. It'll be a presence check. The question is, what kind of check?
The rare presence check.
I am going to say command on this one. Presence command. Alrighty. Zacius.
No successes. Crap.
Yeah. It doesn't seem interested in the snake. Perhaps it's more interested in the hunt than it is in just as it starts. And we are officially now in combat as it starts aggressively making its way towards you, snapping its jaws. So, who wants to go first?
What do we roll? Fitness security?
So, it will be basically, it depends what you want to do on your turn. So, someone gets to go first, and then we alternate between you and the creature. So, you get to either attack it, try to avoid it. This is combat. So, it'll most likely be a control or daring security.
Well, Zaius is going to start chucking spears.
All right. Zaius gets the first go as he's the one that is on the ball on this, and give me a control security.
One success.
That is unfortunately not high enough to hit on a ranged attack. It is now its turn. And I'm going to pull up random.org, a random number generator, and decide who the creature is going to go for.
were we supposed to say what we were we supposed to have a turn first or
No. It's alternating between player and monster. So yeah. We will have subsequent turns, but instead of us all hogpiling him and him getting only one turn, he gets as many turns as we do.
Okay.
So it's his turn now. Zacius had the player's turn. It is your enemy's turn, and the enemy is going for Chorog.
Okay.
So it is going to be rolling. And because it is... basically, it's got a crit range as well, so, it's going to snap at Chorog. So please do a daring security check, Chorog.
Alright, and I'll also use my hand-to-hand combat focus.
Yes.
You said inside security?
Daring, sorry, for this.
Daring security, okay, gotcha.
Alright, so, what's your security?
Give me a second here. Security is 6.
Well, it should be 5.
It's 5. I don't know how it got jacked up, but it should be 5.
Yeah. So you both of those are crits, so you get 4 successes on this. And you do severe damage to it.
Trog already has his knife drawn. The critter lunges at him. Trog gets a lucky shot right in the neck.
It is still awake and up, but it is heavily wounded. It is players' turn now. How are the players going to? Someone, one of you will need to choose. How are you going to react?
I'm considering doing something that requires setup, and that I'm thinking of doing something where I climb up a tree and then drop on it, but.
Technically, I'm going to count climbing up the tree as what's called a minor action. So I think that'll count as that, just sort of like climbing up a tree and leaping down on it. That's sort of more movement. So I will allow you to do that. What kind of are you? So this is going to be more of a spear attack, melee attack, right?
Yeah. Although I'm. The plan is I climb up a tree, I drop, and I'm using the knife that's in our survival packs. I'm just going to try and aim directly for its spine, putting all my weight behind it.
Okay, please roll daring security.
Okay, I'm also going to use, my talent, Walking Encyclopedia, to give myself a focus in knife combat. That increases my complication range by 1.
Yeah,
it gives me the focus.
All right, so you now have a complication range of 17 plus. So please roll.
So costs. Momentum, so I think we have 2 left right now.
You currently have 3 because of the major attack that Chiro got off. So please do your daring security check with focus.
God. Okay, I'm going to use one of my, I might go a little bit heavy on momentum this turn, because I really do not want the complication.
It costs 2 momentum to reroll.
Yeah.
In that case, I would like to use, my value, or one of my values. So I have a few values that might apply. There's nothing ventured, nothing gained. There's I'm not afraid to get my hands dirty. And then there's also I'm so sick of this goddamn sci-fi bullshit.
The sci-fi one won't work, but I'm not afraid to get my hands dirty definitely does. So please reroll.
Okay.
Just if you want to keep the one success, you can.
Are you kidding?
Fortunately, it's. I'm only going to count as the first one because I think you would have kept the first one.
I re-roll all the dice.
Yeah, you didn't need to re-roll all the dice. You can keep as many. So that is just one success. But as the primary actor on this, and the fact that they got a complication, and also one success, you do succeed on this. And what I'm going to say is, how do you want to do this?
So Daniel, like, while Chorog is, like, fending off the beast and, you know, counterattacking, Daniel is already climbing a tree. After Chorog gets a good stab in, and it's clearly wounded, that's when Daniel, like, pulls the knife out, and he just drops, like, it's kind of like in, like, a crouched position, but the knife directly below him, he just drops like a rock with a pointed edge on the bottom, and I want to say he, like, with how, like, scuffed that all those rolls was with the complications or whatever, I want to say he barely misses the spine with the knife, but with the beast now flailing around, he manages to hold on for dear life and stabs at it again directly. And this time it does make contact with the spine, and it just kind of drops limp.
All right, so the shuttle door is not open, it's closed, and you have the corpse of the apex predator of this world, this feline creature that none of you have ever seen before, lying on the ground. Unconscious, maybe, likely dead, you're not sure. But now, you have free access to free the shuttle and leave.
Zacia sighs and looks over to Ryuji and says, this doesn't feel great, just, you know, killing it and taking off.
Oh, I'm gonna go for... I know exactly what you want to do. We're having a luau then before we leave.
No, I was actually thinking about beaming it up and, you know, like, fixing it up and then sending it back.
We'd have to take it on the shuttle. We're too far for beaming.
Ryuji?
What?
You want to help me with this one? Otherwise, I'll just try to make something up with pointed sticks.
Fine.
And Trog speaks up, in the Gamma Survival, it's either kill or be killed.
True. But we're not exactly in a dire survival situation. We have a spaceship next to us.
We weren't killed, and it might, if it's still alive, then we didn't kill either, so. It seems the game of survival is over at this point.
Yeah, I'm at least going to do some first aid.
Alright, can I get Ryuji and Zacius to do a fitness security check to manhandle, well, Kitsune handle, and Romulan handle the creature into the shuttle.
Fitness security, this benefits me greatly.
I imagine with how it was finished off, knife to the spine, is probably at the if not dead, probably at the very least, like, paralyzed from the neck down to some capacity. So if we do bring it back to Reliant and get it patched up, it'll probably be fine with all the future tech we got.
We're going to rebuild it. Stronger.
I mean, even if it was dead, we could probably bring it back.
We're going to make it a cyborg. It's going to be the most invasive of species.
Alright, just need Zacius's role now.
So what was the role?
Fitness security.
Okay.
You know, Daniel doesn't have a pet yet.
Daniel, please, please don't. You're going to get eaten in your sleep.
With the two of them working together, Zacius and Ryuji make light work of bringing this large, heavy creature into the shuttle. Avoiding the claws, avoiding the teeth, they're able to bring it inside and
place it on a surface where medical attention can be given to it. Faberi, you're looking at the shuttle, yes?
Yes, Faberi is examining the shuttle for damage, since she's a shuttle pilot, and seeing if there's a way to free the shuttle.
Okay, give me an insight con roll for me, please.
While the other two are carrying the beast, could Daniel walk over and start helping with the shuttle?
As pretty much as soon as Daniel goes to start to help Faberi, Faberi has already identified some minor damage to the propulsion system. She scrapes away some of the dirt and muck, and there is clearly some damage and a power relay in one of the propulsion parts of the ship that need to be either bypassed or replaced.
Now we're going to need to bypass this and probably need an interoperator and a inverter.
Yeah, you should be able to bypass it once you start the shuttle up and deal with the engineering controls. So it is not something that you particularly need physical work on doing. Unless you want to replace the part now.
I mean, she probably can.
Don't these shuttles come with spare parts for some things? Like, power relays seem to be a pretty standard part for most things.
That obviously, Starfleet would obviously have some backup parts for situations like this. It's not particularly uncommon for shuttlecraft to get damaged, after all.
But this isn't a Starfleet shuttlecraft, it's Sherlock's shuttle.
So, yes, I will leave that question to Churog. Would there be spare power relays in cargo?
Yeah, Churog always keeps a few extra parts laying around just in case things go south.
All right. What talents does Faberi have?
As in, like, the talents on the sheet?
Yes. What would there be anything that would apply for, say, using con instead of engineering for this role?
None, but she also has a decent engineering. She's just terrible with science and medicine.
Okay, then give me a control engineering as she works to replace the power relay. Jog shows her where the spare parts are kept, and she uses the tools that Jog also keeps. And even that one success is enough. It is a relatively simple fix, so it's not particularly onerous on your engineering ability.
I'm not too familiar with Snoskin systems.
But you do have a Norskan right there, so he is able to at least give you an overview of the systems. And, you know, shuttlecraft are shuttlecraft at the end of the day. It may look differently, they maybe have different parts, but they all essentially function the same. And a power relay is a power relay at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I do have mechanical tinkering and creative solutions. So
with that, the repair is done. Faberi closes up the panel, locks it in again. There had to be some sort of manipulation to get the panel flat again. There was a bit of like exterior, like denting to it, but there's still a slight dent. But it's mainly fixed. And you're ready to leave the planet.
If I remember correctly, there was a complication where after we landed, the ground kind of gave way and the ship landed up on the wonk. Do we need to just kind of be careful taking off to right it properly, or do we need to, like, prop it up a bit before we take off?
That would definitely be a Fiberi con role. It would be more of her ability just to level it up than rise.
Or is Chorog piloting like when we started?
Fiberi can pilot.
Okay.
Okay, give me a control con roll, Fiberi.
Daniel would like to assist.
All right.
Probably on console or something.
Yep. How is Daniel assisting? What does he do?
An engineering console was mentioned earlier when we were talking about if we should bypass or replace the power thing. So Daniel's probably on that, just trying to, like, send, like we're on the wonk, so we're going to need more power sent to the thrusters on like, the back left corner, mm-hmm. less power on the front corner, et cetera, et cetera. Just, like, power allocation to the proper, parts, all that jazz.
Okay, well, unfortunately, even with the assist, the Grawl didn't get any successes, so the assist work anyway. The wonky and loud, Fiberi tries to start the ship, it just seems to not an overload, but, sort of some safety systems trip because they're at a odd angle and there's must be something that is getting into the actual propulsion system because of the angle that they're at.
You know what's going on? I haven't flown Nausicaan ships before.
Want me to take a whack at it? Swap stations?
No, I was asking our Nausicaan.
The controls are highly adaptable. You can adjust them to Federation standard. Trog enters a code into the command console and the helm controls switch over to Federation standard.
All right, give me another roll, Fiberi. Another control con.
There we go.
A much better roll, and with that, the rear of the... You feel like the rear of the shuttlecraft sort of start to rise and as the ship levels, and Fiberi starts guiding it up and out of the forest, avoiding any trees, avoiding anything up in the sky, and this as she approaches this on the scanner, there is a storm that is starting to come through, but it is still well enough in the distance that it doesn't have an impact to her to her piloting. So she ascends up through the atmosphere, up into space itself, into orbit, ready to head back to Station Magellan.
Once we're in space, Daniel will walk to the back and just try and see if he can tell if the beast is alive or not.
So, yes, let's figure that out. Who is going to be doing the medical checks on that? Does Zacius have medical training? Duncan?
Hey, I got a one.
Hello?
Yep, now we can hear you again.
All right, that was weird. Yeah, push to talk wasn't working. Yeah, so he's got a medical of one, so if someone wants to take the lead...
Fiberi has a medicine of two, so not her.
You know, fuck it. Daniel has a medical of one. I might as well go for it just to see if it's like...
Hold on.
Okay, Fiberi then.
Yeah, if someone's just going to go for it, we're going to do Fiberi, but Ryuji or Chorog?
I got a medicine of two. I probably should not do that.
Let me check Ryuji real quick. I just closed the sheet. I have a medicine of two.
Oh, okay, so Fiberi, and you can get assistance from one of the other people with a medical rating of two. Sweet.
He's flying the shuttle right now.
Ryuji wants to eat this thing, so probably not Ryuji.
It's probably on autopilot.
At this stage, it's basically on autopilot. With that up out in space, there's not much that needs to be done, unless you know, you come across a spatial anomaly. But we're pretending that doesn't exist right now.
Also, I just remembered. I think it took us like 3 days in the shuttle to get to this planet. So,
it's a day, right. Just over a day.
Okay, sorry.
For whoever, someone can do a reason medicine. Someone can do a control medicine.
Barry's going to do control medicine.
I could try control medicine.
Wait, so who's doing what?
Okay, both Garol, Cheryl can do a control medicine as well.
Just one dice. What? Because I got an 11 in reason and a 12 in control. So even though I've got a 1 in medicine, so I don't know if that makes up for it other ways.
Okay. Oh damn! I hit it.
Well, yeah. I'm just going to be using the first one as this is an assist, so it is a 3. You got 3 successes, and you're able to. This is a bit hard because you have some medical knowledge. And this is a unusual creature. None of you have ever seen this creature. You don't know it's what its biology should be. But with 3, you're able to repair the spinal damage that has been done. And you're able to... It hasn't been long enough for death to fully come into effect. It is still, it is weakened, it is groggy, it is,
I assume we would keep it sedated.
Sedated, but it is live right now. It is probably going to require, the damage has been done, but it has been reversed, but the effects of the damage that was there was still significant. So it might need, rehabilitation to be able to properly walk again. But it's alive.
We got a new pet on Magellan.
Once it's been stabilized for the rest of the trip, Daniel will just kind of... He feels bad about you know, paralyzing it is.
God,
we were being attacked. He was like running on. Lautchard was saying, "You know, kill or be killed," but then ended up not being quite killed, and now he just feels real bad. He's just gonna once it's stable, Daniel's gonna go over and can just kind of like pet it for the rest of the journey back.
All right, and that is probably where we're going to leave it for today. Thank you for joining us as the crew of Chorog and his little bunch of, I don't want to say misfits, but lower decks. Return
my pupils. My pupils.
And his pupils return back to Starbase Magellan for another day.
I want to do a little end scene.
Alright.
Just because it never paid off during the adventure, I just want to do a bit where, you know, later in the day, Daniel's gone to his room, he's laying down in bed, you know, he's closed his eyes, right about to sleep, and then suddenly, he hears that weirdly familiar noise again, coming from some indeterminate direction.
It's his pager.
All right, and that's where we're going to leave it for today. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, you can send us emails at reliant@starbaseugc.com. We'll see you next time. Thanks for joining.
Wait a minute, are you talking about reliant@starbaseugc.com?
That's right. It's reliant@starbaseugc.com.
At starbaseugc.com, you say?
Reliant@starbaseugc.com, what?